Good morning, I'm Anna Palmer.
And I'm Jake Sherman.
And welcome to the Daily Punch, brought to you by Punchbowl News. It's Wednesday, March 6th, 2024. Let's get into the mix. Here are your Washington headlines of the day. Number one, how Congress is going to fund the government. Number two, TikTok faces a potential ban in the U.S. And number three, top storylines out of Super Tuesday. All right, Jake, let's get into it. We are leading the top of Punchbowl News. I am looking at how Congress is expected on day 133 of Mike Johnson's speakership to start the government funding package and avoid a partial government shutdown. At midnight Friday, after a lot of drama, twists and turns, punting, kicking the can down, the proverbial calendar, I don't know, there's many different, ways we could say it. Congress is doing Congress. They're going to have a minibus with six annual spending bills mashed up into one big package.
Yeah, this is how Congress works. And, I'm just going to say something at the beginning here, because I think it's important to note, and Brez and I were talking to a lot of members about this last night. We talked to Andy Biggs, Jim Jordan, a lot of people last night about this. Like, maybe you just can't change Congress. Like, that's my takeaway. They booted Kevin McCarthy, who had 80 something percent of support in his conference, and put in Mike Johnson, who had never really been around leadership and said he was a conservative. He was going to do all these great things. And listen what they're doing. $460 billion spending bill, more than 1,000 pages long, six spending bills mashed together on the floor today. Spending package includes 605 pages of earmarks, Anna. 605 pages of earmarks.
The John Boehner era. Let's just say that.
Worth more than $12.6 billion. And granted, these are not earmarks like we knew back in the Republican majority of the early 2000s. These are mostly community, almost all community military projects that are quote unquote vetted, and they're not for private companies. So also, this was drafted behind closed doors by the leadership and top appropriators. It's being considered under suspension of the rules. More Dems are going to vote for it than Republicans. And then they're going to do this again in 2 weeks with another six bills, including Pentagon, Defense, Labor H, and Homeland Security. And Dems are going to carry this thing. And listen, we've not been shy or in reflecting the reality as the leadership and the rank and file sees it about Mike Johnson. He has a lot of qualities that are that get on people's nerves. So do I. You don't, Anna. Nothing you do gets on my nerves. So
I mean, I'm glad we just put that for the record. Everyone can know.
Oh, God, can we please delete this? There are two dynamics here that are worth considering. Johnson had to live by Kevin McCarthy's spending deal, the product of a true bipartisan compromise to raise the debt limit. And hardline conservatives' strategies and tactics, and their winner, not winner take all, their all or nothing approach on funding, on everything, has hurt the Republican majority. And in the end, the kind of overwhelming force of appropriators and leadership to avoid a shutdown and get this thing done was far too powerful for a small and group of conservatives that want to quote unquote change the way Washington works. And, a lot of people are thinking, like, where did we go wrong here? Bob Good told me yesterday, interesting, a lot of people were around for this. He said yesterday, Bob Good, chairman of the Freedom Caucus, that they should get half of what they want because they're half of Congress. They're not half of Congress because they can't pass anything. I told him that. He was not happy with me and kind of ended the interview with that. And then made the case in the closed door Republican leadership meeting, they should shut down the government in September, weeks before, 5 or so weeks before the election, to make sure Dems don't lock in their spending priorities. So, Anna, things don't change. Congress is a big hulking institution. Unless you have super majorities in both chambers, which, by the way, Democrats had back in the early Obama days, not super majorities, but damn close to super majorities. You know, it's tough to get these big things done. I want to make one more point that someone made to me yesterday. Someone made this point to me that, you know, when you and I were covering Nancy Pelosi, she had everyone stick together even when there was incremental change, right? Like she made, like you can't, she, it's not every spending bill under Democrats, which were a much more effective majority by, like, we're talking about, like, you know, apples and oranges here. They stuck together when it came to pretty much everything because they knew at the end of the day, or Pelosi knew at the end of the day, that you need unity to get things done. And Republicans are like, well, we didn't get everything. We're not going to go for this. They're just not interested in incrementalism. And that's why we see what we see, Anna.
Yeah, I think you make a lot of good points. I think when you look at this institution, a place that we've been covering for, you know, way more than a decade at this place, right? It is, it kind of is, there is a real rhythm to Congress and how it works. And just because you say, you shake your fist at kind of the process and how it's broken, you know, there is, this is coalition politics, right? At the end of the day, it's getting a majority and it's, who, you know, just because you're the loudest doesn't mean that you're going to win. And particularly when it comes to the fact that, you know, they want to fund the government. Republicans do not want, they believe, and they probably rightly, that they would have gotten blamed if there is a government shutdown. I think you see, you know, Mike Johnson working with his counterparts in a way that we hadn't seen. So you know, heretofore, putting together that bill, not allowing any changes, you know, just moving it forward. It's kind of plugging along. It's the kind of the art and science of legislating often is not a very beautiful process. And I mean, he's kind of learning that in real time.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Johnson deserves credit on a few fronts. He deserves credit for saying, I'm not going to mess with these, I'm not going to like give much energy or oxygen to the right, which wants me to do things that I can't do. And especially given the governing dynamics and that's, he deserves credit for that. And that's a new dynamic we hadn't really seen in the last, you know, the last Republicans have been in and out of the majority since 2010. So 14 years. So people will get on him for this. But again, as we pointed out last week, the man is governing with the majority of the Republican conference, or at least the plurality of the Republican conference, not the small minority.
All right, let's run to the numbers. Two story of the morning. Super interesting item that you and Brez have this morning on the Biden White House backing a bipartisan bill that could lead to a ban on the hugely popular social media app TikTok. In the U.S., the legislation, which we scooped yesterday, would force ByteDance to sell TikTok if it wants to remain in U.S. app stores. The bill, this is moving fast, is set for a markup Thursday in the House Energy and Commerce Committee following a classified hearing with officials from the FBI, Justice Department, and the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. Jake, I just want to set this up because I think this is really the fact that this is coming together. You know, I was talking to some folks about the latest, you know, tech CEO hearing, you know, and TikTok, by and large, wasn't the focus of that. That was really Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook and some other companies really faced more of the brunt of that hearing. But now this is really putting them, I mean, this is in the crosshairs in a way that I think, you know, a lot of folks thought that maybe they had bided time, that thing, you know, Congress wasn't moving fast on it. The heat to do something had kind of, you know, cooled off a little bit, but this could put them and their business really, at a critical point.
Yeah, that's right. The bill actually specifically names TikTok and ByteDance, which I thought, to be honest with you, was unusual. Just the kind of, specificity that just going after a specific company. Basically, this legislation forces ByteDance to sell TikTok, and if they want to stay in U.S. markets and in app stores, it's a bipartisan bill. Energy and Commerce and the China Select Committee Energy and Commerce will mark this up on Thursday. We have the bill in the newsletter this morning. We scooped it yesterday. Now, the White House is behind this, as you know. Not only are they behind this, they provided technical assistance to the people drafting this bill. And not only did they provide technical assistance to people drafting this bill, they are holding a classified briefing ahead of the markup on Thursday, tomorrow. That would be tomorrow, wouldn't it? Yeah, tomorrow. That is a big deal. Like, no other effort on the Hill before had gotten the support of the White House, but they are behind this thing. And it is, listen, it's going to get Johnson, Mike Johnson, the speaker, is not behind this yet. I mean, who the hell knows if he'll ever get behind this or when he'll make up his mind on this, because he doesn't make up his mind quickly. But the fact that this has White House support, the fact that this is getting marked up, it's going to face, you know, problems from the left and the right. There's some question about whether it'll ever pass the House. There is some skepticism in the Senate on the way this is drafted. But it just shows that TikTok is going to continue to have issues, and big issues, on Capitol Hill among lawmakers who are, again, get these classified briefings and feel like they have, there is an app here that it has a lot of influence by the Chinese government, even though TikTok, to be fair, they say that they are privately owned. They are used by hundreds of millions of people, and this whole thing is all nonsense, but they've got big problems.
And ironic, maybe it's not ironic, but it's at least worth pointing out, the Biden campaign recently got on TikTok. So
yes,
they're apparently using it on the campaign
until it's
side.
Banned. until he signs that ban into law, maybe he's going to be on it. But yeah, I mean, listen, this is the big problem, man. This is the political problem. There are a lot of people on TikTok, and a lot of young people, a lot of even old people. And TikTok makes the point. People make a living off of TikTok, and that, I don't make a living off of TikTok, but so a lot of people do. So anyhow, that's the political problem for that they have.
All right, let's run to the number three story of the morning. We have the top Super Tuesday storylines. Max Cohen for us covers all things politics, particularly as it relates to what that means for Congress and control of Congress. We had a special edition, the Tally, yesterday, that was a really terrific newsletter that came out for all of our AM subscribers, looking at kind of power of Congress. Here are some of the top storylines that he found coming out of yesterday at the congressional level. To me, interesting. I think this Senate race in California is fascinating. Representative Adam Schiff advanced the general election in that California Senate race, capping off a very dominant primary campaign win over his fellow Democrats. But what's interesting is he's going to face off against Republican Steve Garvey in the very blue state in November, meaning both Representatives Katie Porter and Barbara Lee lost in the primary, and which is a pretty big setback for the progressive pair.
Yeah, it is. They're not going to be in Congress anymore. This is what Adam Schiff wanted. He wanted to face a Republican, and he boosted Garvey in order to get there, and Katie Porter and Barbara Lee are on the short end of that. Listen, it would be a massive shock if Adam Schiff did not win this. I think the huge money will be on Adam Schiff. I'm sure we'll see polling in the next couple of days that has him up a lot. California is still very blue, very, very, very blue. Interestingly enough, there will be no woman after this election representing California in the Senate for the first time in decades. It'll be Alex Padilla and either Steve Garvey, I guess, or Adam Schiff, most likely Adam Schiff. Another big primary result is Barry Moore tops Jerry Carl in Alabama. That was a member-on-member primary. Jerry Carl is an appropriator. He is a lot of the institutional Republicans really wanted Jerry Carl to win. Barry Moore comes out on top in a race that got quite nasty. Again, member-on-member primary, pretty nasty in Alabama.
All right, with that, just want to note, Jake, we have a new summit, the Digital Payments Economy. We're going to be hosting on Tuesday, March 19th at 9 a.m. Would love for all of you to join us. If you're in the Washington, D.C. area, you can go to our events hub and click on that. See all of the conversations we're going to be having, including a one-on-one interview that Jake is going to do with House Financial Services Chair Patrick McHenry. Lots to talk about. News of the day, as well as what is happening in with the future of commerce and the economy as related to digital payments. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it. If you like the Daily Punch, share it with your friends. It's the best way for folks to find out about us. You can go deeper on all the issues we talked about this morning and more if you go to punchbowl.news and put in your email. You get our free newsletter Monday through Friday. Have a great day and stay safe, everybody.